Our scripture reading for this lesson comes from Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verses 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 29. Numbers 20, 22 through 29. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered to his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron for 30 days, even all the house of Israel." Once again, good morning. It has thrilled me so. Not only that we're back to everything this week, but that you are here now as we're trying to increase attendance. So I hope that you will keep this going. As Dad mentioned in the announcements, a trial run, and encourage other people to be with us as well. Because you didn't ask my opinion, but in my humble opinion, you can never be in God's Word too much. You can never study it, learn from it too much. And that's our goal this morning in our lesson of the hour, is we're going to talk about lessons from the death of Aaron. By the way, thank you for watching online. I hope you can join us anytime we're having services here in the building. You'd be our honored guest. When we think about death, death is not normally something we just want to dwell upon, although it is appointed a man wants to die, Hebrews 9:27. And then after this comes the judgment. What's unique about the death of Aaron is the first high priest. There was no high priest before Aaron because there was no law before the 20th chapter of Exodus, where God gives the law and then the preceding chapters gives you need priest, you need this, you need that, and the other thing. So the death of Aaron was very important because this was something that the children of Israel had never faced before. Moses led them out of Egypt. Aaron had been the mouthpiece because Moses had some kind of a speech impediment. So God said, okay, I'll use your brother and I'll tell you, God says to Moses, and then you tell your brother and he will then tell the people. Aaron's the high priest. But there's a problem. If you go back with me to verses 6 through 13 of this chapter, Aaron sinned and Moses sinned. They went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto them, saying, "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, speak unto the rock before your eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. You shall give the congregation and their beasts to drink." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as God had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said, "Hear ye now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. He said, "Because you believe me not to sanctify me or to set me apart in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord." Meribah means strove, and he sanctified them, or was sanctified in them. See, now before he was told to speak the rock, that's in Exodus 17, they come back to it, and now he's told to speak to it. And so Moses, he hits the rock twice and Aaron is there. And so because of this, Aaron must die and Moses must die. They get to get right up to the promised land. Moses does at Mount Nebo and gets to look into it, but doesn't get to get there. You know, later on in the Bible, in Numbers 33, 39, the Bible tells us that Aaron is 123 years old when he dies. Moses is 120. So he almost makes it as long as his brother did. This morning, There's a handful of lessons we can learn from this man's death. And we're not going to focus on the sadness of death, but things that are true even for us today in 2021 about the death of Aaron. So number one, friends, God takes sin seriously. God takes sin seriously. If you don't believe God takes sin seriously, because of the sin at the waters of Meribah, Aaron doesn't get to go into the promised land because of this. Now, the command that God had given them to speak to the rock is not hard to do, because they were already talking to God and they would just had to go over and basically tell the rock, bring forth water, or say it something along those lines, and they wouldn't have had water for them and their beasts, and they wouldn't have been complaining about dehydration or the like. Yet, because of this sin, death was placed upon him. Now, he was already going to die, but it was moved up. God says, you're not going to get to go see what you've been longing to see. Friends, God takes sin seriously. How seriously? Isaiah 59 and verse 2, sin separates us from God. You and God are walking together, and then sin is like a curtain that has been pulled between you, and you're no longer in the same room. That room has been now divided into two. That's what sin does. It separates us. We no longer stand in a right relationship with our Lord. We know Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? It's death. Does that mean if I go out and rob a bank that I die on the spot? No, not necessarily. He's talking about a spiritual death, a spiritual separation from God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 6 for just a moment. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, that beautiful passage as Solomon instructs his son. Love lessons, sometimes you may want to call Proverbs to his son. He says, son, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. Now, Solomon did not think of a seventh after he'd written six. Seven is your complete number in Hebrew, and he's writing this in Hebrew. And that's the way that the Hebrews would express something. They'd say six. No, wait, here's seven things to try to underscore the importance. Vile is, or abomination is a vile stench in the nostrils of God. So these seven things are vile in God's sight. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Well, in a way, you could have seen them as sowing discord, because God said to do one thing, they did another. He is also devising wicked to a degree, because God said do this, and they did the opposite. Friends, God takes sin seriously. We should as well. We should be like the psalmist in Psalm 97:10 that says, I love God, therefore I hate evil. He says, I can't love both. So since I love God, I'm going to hate things that are contrary to God, things that are wicked. Or later we'll go on in the 119th Psalm and say, I hate, watch this, every false way. Friends, do we hate every false way? Well, we should. I'm afraid, though, people hate sin, but they only hate the sins that don't affect their lives. And if it's something they struggle with or a family member, they're not so harsh on that sin. Friend, God hates all sin. So that's number one. God takes sin seriously. We should as well. Lesson number two from the death of Aaron this morning, though. We have a better high priest. Do you realize that we have a better high priest than Aaron? Now, Aaron was a great high priest, partially on the fact that there was no one to compare him to before, but also if you just read about everything, because up until this point in Numbers, usually if Moses is here, then Aaron's here, and Aaron is there most of the time, although he had some faults with the golden calf and other things, but most of the time Aaron is right beside his brother, and they're working together for the Lord, yet at the same time, we have a better high priest. It was God's chosen role for Aaron to be the high priest. See, Aaron and Moses, they're sons of Levi. And so the priest had to come from the Levitical tribe, but the high priest had to come from the line of Aaron. So Eleazar, his son's going on. If you wanted to be a high priest, but you weren't directly related to Aaron, you didn't get to be it, no matter how much you may have desired that office. You would have had hundreds of priests, yet only one high priest serving at a time. It was a very special role. Go with me to Exodus chapter 30 and verse 20, because one of these jobs that the high priest had is once a year had to go into the holiest, the most holy place, or the holy of holiest. Some translations may render that the smaller room, the inner room within the tabernacle and later the temple. On the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16 describes that as well. But notice Exodus 30 and verse 10, Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in the year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. See, Aaron had a very important job, and once a year he would make an atonement. At one moment he was removing the sins or rolling the sins forward for the Israelite nation if they complied with those terms of pardon. Yet, friends, he had to offer it for himself too. And he also died. We have a better high priest. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you will, for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 7 is where we'll begin. And when you think of the book of Hebrews, you may want to think of the word better, because the Hebrew writer spends 13 chapters showing you how the new law is better than the old law in many different ways. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety or a guarantee of a better testament, that they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. See, Aaron was a great high priest, but Aaron had to make daily sacrifices, monthly sacrifices, and yearly sacrifices. Yet Jesus Christ died once. Go with me to chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now of the things which we have spoken, he said this is the sum of what? Jesus being a better high priest. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He's a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. Friends, Jesus Christ is that better high priest. We go to him. He already made that sacrifice. He did it when he was suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours. Because he loved me, because he loved you. Jesus Christ is a better high priest than Aaron, and I'm thankful for that. Another lesson, though, this morning from the death of Aaron, and we've already kind of briefly mentioned it, and you know it to be true, it's appointed a man once to die. It's a biblical fact. It is appointed unto man once to die. Who is Aaron? We've already mentioned the leader of the people, the older brother of Moses, the first high priest. And yet, even though you give those great pedigrees, a man who is important and integral to the Old Testament story, he was still a man. And he still had to die. We know Genesis 3:19, don't we? From dust we are, and to dust we'll return. Man was taken out of the dust. That's how God created man. Job 30 and 23 says that death is appointed unto all the living. But go with me to the 90th Psalm. The 90th Psalm. There are people who live their entire life trying to escape that moment when they cease to exist here on this earth. Instead, we should live every moment ready for that. That way, we don't have to worry about, am I ready? But if you live ready now, you don't have to worry about it. I like Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is, well, all the Psalms are unique, but in my mind, in one way, it's unique because Moses actually wrote Psalm 90 at some point throughout his life, and it was preserved and placed here. But look first at verse number 10, and I'm sure verse 10 is a verse that you've heard quoted. Maybe you didn't realize it was in Psalm 90, but it says, the days of our years are 70. A score is 20. Three of those is 60 plus 10, 70. And if by reason of strength be 80, yet is there strength in labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and then we fly away. So he says, on average, humans designed to live 70, 80. Now, thanks to modern medicine, we live longer than that. But notice how Moses ends that. He says, it really doesn't matter if you live however long, because it's soon cut off. We don't live forever, thankfully. And it goes away. And then somebody else is living here on this earth. But look at verse 12. What's the point of this, Moses? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He's not sitting there saying, okay, count down when you think you're going to demise, when your demise will be. But friends, on the contrary, he says, we should number each day. We should say, today is another day that I can apply wisdom. Today is another day that the good Lord blessed me to wake up, to shower, to eat breakfast, to do whatever. Come here this morning and worship and learn more about God. And tomorrow, if he blesses to get up, then we go to work or whatever you do on Monday. Maybe you sleep in on Monday. I don't know. But every day we wake up, we should be thankful. And we should apply our hearts unto wisdom. Apply in Hebrew means cause to come. Or we set things in order so we will come to wisdom. And wisdom comes by being in God's Word. Friends, it is appointed a man wants to die. A life lesson from Aaron. We've got two more this morning. Number four, from Aaron's death. We need to weep with those who weep. We need to weep with those who weep. You remember in our lesson text at the beginning of the lesson, the final verse of Numbers chapter 20, it says, when the congregation of Israel saw Eleazar and Moses come down the mountain without Aaron, the whole congregation mourned for 30 days. And not just the congregation, it says all of Israel. When word spread, even to those who weren't right there, people that even knew Aaron, no doubt, they mourned. This was a great man's passing. We know that death affects every single person. And I'll tell you one person it affected, Jesus Christ. Go with me to John chapter 11, if you will. We're going to read what is called the shortest verse in the Bible. That's true if you're reading the Bible in English. It's not true if you're reading it in Greek, but that's really six, one half a dozen the other. It's pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, 17, if you are in Greek. But here, John chapter 11, Jesus Christ gets word that arguably, maybe not his best friend, but a really good friend of Jesus, Lazarus, is dying. But he delays his journey because he says, I'm going to delay so the power of God can work. He knows what he's doing. He gets there. Lazarus has passed from this earth for 4 days now. They say the body's starting to stink. Martha comes out. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. He has that great I am the resurrection and the life statement because she says something about him. No, you can raise him up. But we don't know if she meant there or future point. Then Mary comes out and Mary says, Lord, if you'd have been here, the same Mary that broke the alabaster box, the same Mary that was with Jesus at his feet while Martha's serving, she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then they take him where Lazarus is, and you know verse 35, right? Jesus wept. My Savior was sad when his friend passed away. That means I can be sad when people pass away. Friends, we need to weep with those who weep. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 as you're turning there. Luckily, we know the rest of the story of Lazarus. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Probably saying the name Lazarus, so not everybody in that cemetery came forth. And Lazarus, historians have told us secularly, he lived probably 30 years after this event. So for 30 years, people could have come to Lazarus and said, wait, didn't you die? And he could say, yeah, I died, but Jesus Christ raised me up. And then they could teach them about Jesus. But notice Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him. Who is him? Jesus Christ. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was made like unto his brethren. Jesus Christ had emotions like we have emotions. But Jesus Christ went through temptations, Hebrews 4:15, tempted on points like as we are, yet he didn't sin. Therefore, let us come boldly, approach the throne of grace. Now, that's verse 16. Since Jesus could weep when a loved one, when a friend passed away, friends, we need to weep with those who weep. In fact, that's what Paul tells those in Rome, in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and then you weep with those who are weep. We know this one to be true, but it's always nice to be reminded it's okay to do things like that. That's our fourth lesson and our fifth lesson this morning. God shows no partiality to man. God shows no partiality to man. Then we talked about who Aaron was. I mean, Aaron is the high priest. He is the first high priest. There's just one high priest at a time. It was Aaron's job that they would offer sacrifices to him, and he would turn them, if it were, and give them to God. He had to do certain things in a certain way. I mean, let alone you'd think that he's the brother of Moses, the greatest leader the world has ever known. You think that would be enough of a pedigree. Not only that, he's also the spokesman. He is telling you what God has told his brother to do. He's beloved of the people. People loved him. In fact, they turned to him when they couldn't find Moses in Exodus 32 with the golden calf. Now, that turned out to their demise, but the people still respected him enough to come to him. And he was their leader. Yet, you know what happened to Aaron? Aaron died. Because the sin which he had committed was not excused because of his position. It was not excused because of his power. It was not excused because of his prestige. He was the high priest, yet he still disobeyed God. Go with me a few verses on this, and that will be it for our lesson. Back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you will. Duo meaning second, onomy meaning law, the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy 10:17. Moses is telling the people, for the Lord, for Yahweh, for Jehovah God in heaven, is your God, is of gods. He is Lord of lords. He is a great God, a mighty and terrible, talking about God. He regards, watch this, not persons, nor does he take rewards. Regards not persons. God shows no partiality. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. In verse 34, where Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household. And this is when the Gentiles are welcomed into the church. Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God is no respecter of persons. Paul puts it this way in Romans 2:11. There's no respect of persons with God. Literally, in the Greek, that means God doesn't take up a face and look at it and say, I like you because you look this way, or I don't like you because you look that way, and then either accept or discard you. He said, God does not do that. 1 Peter 1:17, he judges without respect. God's punishment on Aaron was done without partiality. Because Moses receives the same punishment, but his is not immediate because God's not done with him yet. God needs him to get the people a little bit further. He was done with what he needed Aaron to do. And he also needed to show the succession of the high priest. But I tell you what, Aaron's forgiveness was without partiality as well. It came through the same source that we can be forgiven. Had he not done that, and you know he felt sorry. You know immediately when God pronounced that judgment, he said, I wish I hadn't done that. Friends, God judges us today without partiality. Our final passage in our lesson this morning, we're back in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 15. Hebrews 9, 12 through 15, we are today forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God that he does not judge us with partiality. Notice this, Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of calves and goats, but by Jesus' own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. See, the Hebrew writer is making a point. He said, under the old law, although it never really forgave sins, it more or less just rolled them, pushed them forward, that was still a forgiveness type. He says, if that could do it under the old law, and he's already discussed that we have a better high priest, how much more then does his sacrifice mean? Our sins can truly be forgiven. What do we learn from the death of Aaron? Friend, God takes sin seriously. We have such a better high priest. It's appointed unto man once to die. We need to weep with those who are weeping. And God shows no partiality. Those are the lessons I learned from the death of Aaron, and I hope that you learned them as well. I hope this lesson motivates you to remember that's the same God that we serve, and God does not take sin lightly. Thankfully, though, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, we can have our sins washed away, come out of that water grave, a new creature alive in Christ. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, maybe you've strayed away, come back home, repent of your sins. We would love to pray with you and for you. Whatever your need is, if we can help in any way, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.